The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We're going to cast Steven Seagal on both of them. just because there are no rules anymore.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, your weekly look at all things CinemaSins, TV Sins, and commercial sins. I'm your host, Aaron, but not that Aaron, of course. And this week I'm joined by CinemaSins writer Daniel Cardozo.
Hi. Hello.
Daniel, we were just talking. It's kind of like that weird... I was talking about how like last week seemed like such a big episode, and this week like seems normal. And that's kind of like the progression for life right now, right? Like, you know, everybody was rushing for the holidays and all that. Like, I have an anniversary between Christmas and New Year's, so like it was like extra, you know. But it just feels like we can all kind of like take a breath, relax for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. For the most part, I mean, I guess I'm still super busy. I have a lot of writing to do. So
sure.
So I'm not relaxing that much.
But like in general, like the next time you have to like plan on seeing family is like, I don't know, aside from, I guess, any potential birthdays or whatever, like, or special anniversaries or occasion like that. Like, you don't have to make any big plans until what, like Easter maybe?
Yeah, with my family though, there's actually there's a number of birthdays in the next coming months, so it's like pretty consistent. Like never really drops off. So, and like friends, I've been catching up with a lot more friends than I had been like over the past like couple of years. So a lot of those things are coming around too.
Do people still have friends after the last couple of years? I mean, like I thought every friendship was destroyed with one thing or another, you know.
Well, as far as I know, on my end, I have friends. I don't know how they feel about it.
Nice. On that note, so we can get you back to some of your writing, we'll dive into the Sinside Scoop for one last time with me and you together. Let's dive into it.
What's he building in there?
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This is a true story.
We'll kick things off with Rick and Morty Season 4, Episode 5, Rattlestar Ricktacula. You and Jonathan on this script. What do you think about this episode in general? I did not remember this episode was a thing, and it's kind of most of Season 4, 5, and 6 for me.
The funny thing was that I didn't, because I hadn't realized that they had already sinned the portion of Season 4, like before I had joined the team. So, like, I started on episode one with this season, and I did a little experiment to see like what I could get away with, and I started dropping in a little tiny hints that the narrator was an android. And in my mind that was going to grow throughout the season, and then halfway through I was like, I found out that Everything after episode 5 was already done. And then I was just like, well, that's not going to work at all. So did some rearranging of thoughts and rewrites and just made it work. Because I was like, I need this to have like an end or a conclusion. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
It just accelerated it quite a bit. Yeah, yeah. That's hilarious. We will for sure be talking about the medicines in a little bit. But... I wanted to highlight some of the sins that I thought were really great in this. I just wanted to, like, first of all, like, good catch on the fact that the boat is named SS.
I got a good laugh out of that when I saw that.
This is a good, clever, like, joke that Rick and Morty is making, but, like, it's one of those that, like, I wouldn't have noticed it, so that's great. Nobody chokes me without consent. Summer would be 50 Shades of Great at TV Sins.
Yeah, I believe that was Jonathan wrote that one, The 50 Shades of Great, and it cracked me up.
There's also a bit at the beginning where I wrote this, the racist snake bit, just because.
Yes, I was laughing at the conceptually at a racist snake, and then I was just like kind of seeing where they were going with the joke, and then I was like, yeah, so it's like it's funny, but it's not funny, but it's funny. but I don't actually remember where I landed with that, as whether or not it was a sin or a sin off.
But I think it was a couple of sins, and then it ended with like a sin off.
And it's definitely possible that it's that thing that we do where we add a sin and or remove a sin and then immediately add one for something else. Yeah. Because that tends to happen.
The other thing I wrote down was that Morty says snowing instead of sewing, which like is a good catch. Like that's typically stuff that is caught or re-recorded or whatever, like that, especially for animation. But I just love how the sin like doesn't really go. Like, doesn't really shame the voice actor or anything like that. It just says fucking Christmas episodes. Yeah. It's just a good, lighthearted joke. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. The edit on that is great. Like, this, like, the I love the slowdown of the audio and then the narrator, fucking Christmas episodes. Yeah.
What are some of the stuff that you had written down?
I think my favorite was. The show wants me to believe that Massachusetts is a phase that all pre-warp civilizations go through. And that's when they're at the snake MIT. I just thought that was funny because that everything is just like our planet, except for it's with snakes. I don't have anything specific against Massachusetts, but I just like the way that sounds. Massachusetts is a phase that somebody has to go through, like sort of like a pre-adolescence or something.
Well, you know, as the narrator would say, that's Massachusetts. It's
yes, Massachusetts. It's
that's so hard to say.
Yeah, to be fair, newscasts involving humans are no more interesting than this. And it was just like the two newscasters basically hissing at each other. It's a little topical comedy right there.
Uh-huh.
And then we had, no matter how many times I watched this, I continue to see a rocket powered alligator that has suffered the loss of two legs and not a rocket powered snake that has suffered the growth of two arms.
Mm-hmm.
And that I just like that because that's what it looked like to me. And then the show itself had introduced the idea of suffering the growth of legs. Or like
because Rick like turns one of the snake, he gives him four legs,
yeah, and he's like, does anybody else want legs? Yeah, so like they made that like a negative thing, so it was fun to use that in another sin. And then Snake Graham Lincoln, which was I believe a name that Jonathan came up with. I just love Snake Graham Lincoln. I feel like we could do a whole someone should write a whole story about Snake Graham Lincoln.
I remember this episode kind of being pretty underwhelming for me because, again, I didn't remember it. And to not remember a Rick and Morty episode is like the cardinal sin, right? Like these episodes are typically super memorable because of some big concept they bring in or something like that, you know? So, but yeah, Snake Graham Lincoln, that'd be a fun spinoff, you know?
Absolutely.
There was a kind of joke or theme or narrative that happened where Aaron left the Narratobot running and then had to come terminate the Narratobot and start sitting manually again, which Aaron talked about, I think, last episode, because he said, you like to do this thing where you like to imagine that the narrator has a machine.
Yeah, because that's what I was saying. There was a bit of a slow drip tease that the existence of Narratobot was in episode 1 of season 4 and then episode 4 of season 4. I did it again where like basically I feel like it's like a loop or something. He gets kind of stuck in like a vocabulary loop or something and just can't handle that for whatever reason. I don't know why a robot wouldn't be able to handle that, but like because like kind of like has like a voice break that like is obviously like digital. This was basically the reveal of what that was all about. And that was me creating that conclusion, that summation of why his voice kept doing that for like a couple of videos now.
Yeah. Sure.
So I don't know like when exactly it came to me as an idea, but it just seemed really fun. This sort of imaginative idea that the narrator hasn't been the one sending all the videos, that like there's just been this other entity there that's been doing a lot. And I think that there's like every now and then I'll see like a comment or something just about the number of Rick and Morty videos that we do send. So I kind of gave a justification in that reveal where he says, man, he's been watching a lot of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
So it's sort of this idea that the narrator hasn't been the one doing this. It's been this robot has just been watching Rick and Morty nonstop and making these sins videos. So, yeah. Fair. So that was fun.
So that leads us kind of to the medicine, which I do want to talk, I think, more about the medicines in the next episode, because there's significantly much more a part of that. But it does get introduced here. Where did this idea of having a medicine start from? Because the medicine is not a sin on the content itself. It's a sin on reality, right? It's a sin on the narrator.
Yes, it's a sin on the narrator's reality.
So where was kind of the inception for that idea to introduce that?
Well, for one, the amount of meta commentary or the meta comments that Rick and Morty make is probably the main influence for that, or at least why this particular show was like a good time to introduce it. I think that like there's been a lot of different like creators and stuff have been like touching on this idea of like meta-ness. Like I don't know if you saw, was it Inside by Bo Burnham?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a whole thing where he is doing a reaction video to himself that just keeps becoming a reaction video of a reaction video of a reaction video. And like, it's just like that idea of like this being able to react to things. And so it just became fitting. And the reason that it happened here at the end was we did that whole thing where like it's revealed it's a robot. And like, I don't know how many people are like paying that kind of attention to this or thinking about the sins videos in that kind of way. So it was kind of just a way to explain what was going on. So basically the show kind of gets a medicine at the end for not really doing anything wrong, but just as a vessel to explain. That's why he's like, yes, in this episode I introduced that there's been a robot this entire time. And it's a bit of a retcon or as you say, changing the canon a bit of what's going on. So like that's the reason that it was used here. And then around this similar time when this was being written, it had to start on episode 7 of season 6, which we're going to get to. And that they went wild with that episode, like the Rick and Morty creators and writers that went wild with it. So when I found out I had to write on that one as well, I was like, well, like this is already kind of a weird thing that we've introduced to this universe now. So why not just continue that?
Sure.
The cool thing was that the fact that I was already sort of working on it before we had to do the other episode, it like allowed to think through and brainstorm like what that would look like on screen and like how like that narration would like pop in and like how like the sin counter and how it would all interact. My goal was to keep it sort of like the idea of it there, but like not have it need to be on screen for it to be acknowledged. So that's why it kind of pops in and out like the YouTube comments. It's kind of a threat that it could pop up at any moment in any video that we do.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good place to end it. We'll definitely return to the medicine when we come back to episode 7 of season 6. But I did have another question I wanted to ask concerning the season 4 episode 5 video, and that's, did somebody really chug a 2-liter of red soda, and why?
It wasn't a 2-liter, and it wasn't so much a chug. I was thirsty, and I made a poor choice. Water was the appropriate choice, but sure. It was a bit of hubris, and I chose a soda I had never seen before, and that is though there was some results. I believe someone in the comments did identify which soda it was, but I'm not going to name names because I don't want to hurt their business, because it was entirely my fault. It was too hot.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's only like two kinds of red soda out there, and
yeah,
I don't think it would take Sherlock Holmes to deduce which one, but sure. No. There's been a challenge on TikTok recently of people trying to like chug an entire bottle of Sprite and then like without burping. And it's just hilarious to see their reactions, because like nobody can do it. And if they can do it, it immediately like this Jurassic roar comes out of them. Like it's quite hilarious to watch.
Well, Ian has a thing where he doesn't burp, and yeah, I don't want him to hurt himself, because like dangerous. Yeah,
that might hurt him. That's such a carbonated drink that like he might like implode if that happened.
turn into a singularity.
Anything else in this video that you wanted to touch on?
Oh yeah, there was just this is one of the comments or discussions that I thought was funny along the way of like making writing the script was I wrote us in were about the little rockets on the toolbox, and in my mind it made sense because they didn't seem to need to be there, and if they were functioning to me at that level of thrust, I thought that they would the toolbox would fly off into space. In my confidence, I put that in there, and then Dicer came back with this, and his response was, "I get nervous about gravity sentence. It could be argumentative considering the rockets could be there to stabilize relative motion with an anti-gravity environment." And I was just like, you know, that's a good argument. I was like, that's such a good argument. And I was like, I still feel like I'm right, but it's like, now, won't you start arguing physics and relative motion in a Sins video? I was like, maybe we've gone a little bit too far in that I need to take it a step back.
The laws of gravity are the villains of the cinema sins. I mean, between this and the Avengers Sin video, yeah.
So we put a lot of thought into some of these, and a lot more thought than some people might think. So we'll be starting the Gravity Sins channel later this month, just as that's a teaser right there.
Asterisks, no, we won't. That would be too much work.
Yes.
Let's move on to Tuesday's video, Bullet Train. Jonathan and you, again on this one. What do you think about this movie?
I enjoyed it as far as action movies go. It wasn't my favorite, though. I mean, like, it's not something that I would say that I need to really revisit or that I would be putting on any lists. But it was a fun movie to watch. And it's funny because after I even spent so much time with the movie, like, I feel like I liked the characters. I liked the story. Like, I liked a lot of things about it, but there was something that was missing from it for me. And I'm not entirely sure what that was. It felt like there was like an element to it that just didn't bring it over the top for what I thought it could have been as a movie.
I think that's a really good way to put it. I think I like the movie more than you do, though. Like, I'm into this kind of aesthetic and this vibe and this, like, this is a really funny movie. I mean, I know that the Sins video. I
absolutely
video,
agree about that.
Like, the Sins video rips on the Thomas the Tank Engine stuff a lot, but like, that had me like really laughing. And I saw this in theaters with my wife, and we both like really enjoyed it. I think it's like number 11 or 12 of my favorite movies of the year so far, which isn't like a high feat. Like, there haven't really been a ton of like excellent movies this year, but like, I really enjoyed this one. I had a good time. And I think you're right. There is something missing from making this like a standout spectacular movie. I mean, I think that it's shot really well, and I like a lot of the performances. Maybe it's just that it tries for a little too much, and some of the stuff it doesn't really do well. Like, it kind of tries to have a heart in the end, and it's just like, that was really never the movie I wanted, right? Like, I wanted Bullet Train, you know, the promise of this fast-paced action chaos, you know? Anyway, it's not a perfect movie, but I quite enjoyed it. Speaking of things I quite enjoyed, maybe my sin for the week. There's a line that says, "There's a lot of bodies here." And then Jeremy just starts whispering, "Let the bodies hit the train." That just slayed me. I really wish that would have considered, and he would have just gone with the next line where he just screamed. You know.
Yeah.
That killed me. What are some of the things that you liked from this video? What are some of the ones you wanted to point out?
I had the other singing one where Lemon or Lime, I forget, Aaron Taylor Johnson says, "How about a wagon wheel?" And then another same thing, Jeremy starts singing "Wagon Wheel." Sings like the first, he says, he's like, "Strange request, but okay." And then he starts, just goes into it. So that was really funny. There's the sequence couldn't be ripping off Kill Bill more if someone had actually said, "Hey, we should go Kill Bill now."
Yeah.
that had me rolling. And then I really loved Jeremy's delivery on the "say yes to the vest" sin, because there was a bit of a thing in the movie where it's like he says he doesn't wear bulletproof vests because it gives you a false sense of security, and then it turns out he was wearing a vest later, and like, I just thought that it was like there was a weird, no, just a fun opportunity there to do that. And that's a play on it's a TV show that I have actually never seen, but I've heard of, called "Say Yes to the Dress," which is about selecting a wedding dress. So It's like, yeah, it's like, will he or won't he wear a bulletproof vest? Yeah,
so. I love it. I so badly want like a cutaway now of Lemon trying on different vests and having his friends around him, and they have to like agree, yeah, that one fits you the best.
And that would even fit the his character in the movie, actually.
It would,
that
whole scene. That's great. Let's see. I know I gripe about the lack of workers on this train, but why do we not get a flashback about this and other important things, which was just a really great like cumulative sin, because there's so many flashbacks in this movie and the narrator makes sure to point them out all the time.
There's so many flashbacks.
There's also like a mini bonus round of every time that Zazie Beetz says bitch, which is frequently. Tom Cruise was the stand-in for the water bottle in this scene. I love the Tom Cruise stand-in scenes. They will kill me every time. And then again, probably another contender for sin of the week, but this was, did these trains flip a coin to see which one gets flipped over the other? Because that's the Thomas the Tank Engine episode I want to see.
This reminds me, we had a bit of a discussion just about fate and like how much fate is is almost a character in this movie. Uh-huh. And like, I like it conceptually, but like, it also feels like a bit of a cheat in the film, because it's sort of used as anything is possible here because it was like meant to happen. And so we did have a discussion about that on quite a few of the sins, and that led to some rewrites. But because like, yeah, because I mean, the whole movie is like a this works sin. Like, we could have said that 100 times and it would have all been relevant, but like, they did kind of write it in there. So it's like, it's still sin worthy, but it's like, we wanted to acknowledge that we understand what the movie's doing with that. Then like,
yeah.
So that was a interesting bit.
I more so interpreted it as this is the same director as Deadpool 2. And so there's that Zazie Beetz character, where Domino, where she, her superpower is luck, and they just kind of like have some fun with that. It's a joke. Obviously these things don't work out that way, but it's just kind of like a wink and a nod at the way things work out. And like, I feel like Brad Pitt's character is kind of like a different version of that, right? Like a little bit more like, yeah, less aware version of that. So I felt like it was just kind of in the same vein, but yeah, certainly plays a role. Logan Lerman is more than a Percy. He's in other movies like The Percy Being a Wallflower and Fury. Wait, did I just use Fury in a positive way? Does one of you hate Fury?
No. That's the short answer. No, actually. I did see Fury. I did not hate it. I don't remember it a whole lot. I might have to revisit it. But Jonathan wrote that, and he hadn't seen Fury.
That's just a Jonathan thing to do. It just really annoyed me, because on the other podcast that I run, like, somebody else had just said that they hated Fury. And I was like, literally nobody ever knew it's hated Fury. And then you come along, like, and then now it's getting double teamed. And I'm like, look, I really like the movie. It's not like one of my favorites of all time, but I'm like, that's a good movie.
I should have asked him more about that, like in the writing process, but like, he has such a library of knowledge that I just trusted him. I was like, he saw it and he was not a fan. So I just like let it go. But it still works as a sin. And
it does, because the narrator is not supposed to like movies. Right. And Fury has been sinned before. So
I asked him directly about that. And I also enjoyed his response, which was, I just thought out of the ones mentioned, it would be the one to hate on. I just enjoyed the matter of factness.
I like Fury more than Perks of Being a Wallflower, but
I actually haven't seen Perks of Being a Wallflower, so I'm kind of out on that one.
It's good, right? But it was one of those that I came to it late, and people are like, oh, this is incredible, like one of the best like movies kind of about and really for young people. And I'm like, I'm a young person, and watch, I'm like, it's fine, like, it's good, it's got good performances, and it's fine, you know. Anything else about this video that you wanted to touch on?
Just the fact that I tried to add 10,000 sins to it for all the flashbacks. And Ian's response was just oof, that feels like a lot, maybe. And I said, I'll bring it down to 1,000, but but I won't negotiate any further.
Nice. All right, so we'll move on to Wednesday's video, Rick and Morty 6x7. This is full meta Jack Rick, back on the new, like, this is the, like, new run of Rick and Morty, the, like, continuation of season 6 after they took a couple-week hiatus. So you and Jonathan again on this one.
Yes.
This is a very, very Daniel and Jonathan week. Let's see. The first thing I wrote was the medicine counter lives. I honestly expected that to be a one-off from the first one, and we'll dive into it at the end because I want to cover the rest of the video first. But kind of a lot of this video revolves around, like, the medicine jokes and kind of the, like, the narrator's self-awareness. So yeah, so as alluded to earlier, Morty would be the most meta thing to ever meta at medicines. And if Rick and Morty continues down this path, we might just create a channel to fuck with them personally. And then as it says that, there's an asterisk that appears that says, no, we won't. That's far too much fucking work. which I just love. Because, like, a lot of times, like, there's the threat by CinemaSins. It's like, I will give all the sins back. But, like, there's never been an asterisk that appeared that's like, you know, no, we won't. So, yeah, that's great. is this just a bunch of groan-inducing wordplay for 7 TV critics that won't even enjoy it? It's really does feel like a specific call out, and the narrator seems to go into it, like, a lot, and then, like, I think it ends with, like, narrator really wants to be recognized in a Rick and Morty episode cliche or something like that.
Yes,
it was just fun. And then, because then later there was, like, the sin where it's like, or how the bowl of fruit was always on the top shelf, or, like,
yeah.
What are the things you wanted to point out?
The use of that potato salad clip, I thought, that. That made me laugh every time, and I was just like, part of me was like, I don't know what we're doing anymore. We've left reality, but it was funny. It was so funny.
Especially the one at the end. The one at the end really killed me. What is that a clip from?
I believe that was Seinfeld.
Oh, I'm not a Seinfeld person, so.
Yeah, I never really got into it in so much either, so I don't know a whole lot of the Seinfeld universe.
I don't need the context to know that that was hilarious every time it happened. So,
yes. Well, with this, I have to say, with this video, I love the voice of NarratorBot that came out of. I realized that having Aaron talk to himself back and forth might get confusing. So we had the voice cracking thing that kept happening in the other season. So the Android's still broken, basically. NarratorBot's still broken, and the voice has never been fixed. So. That's why it's all digital like that. And it worked out really well, especially that, like, there's a few things. I think there was one delivery where he's just like, holy shit. And I just love the way, I love the way that sounded coming out of a robot voice.
Speaking of voices, Jeremy comes back because the narrator is like, you know, all these people that are like, you know, this guy, you know, why is this guy here? And still asking for the other guy to be back and whatnot. So Jeremy pops in for a little bit. And he's like, no, you're doing a good job. It's all good. And just affirming him. And then still manages to sin The Dark Knight Rises as he's there, which is just great to me.
And the thing with that people might not realize is that this episode is sort of this episode of Rick and Morty is sort of a sequel to the Story Train episode. And that, I believe, was the first episode that where they switched narrators.
Yeah, I think the video points that out, but that was not something that I had known because I haven't seen this episode yet. I did start watching season 6, but I just hadn't gotten around to this one yet because Letterkenny came back on. So
priorities.
I just like when they kill Jesus, the sin counter goes up to 666. It's just like, you know, how many sins are we supposed to give you for killing Jesus? Oh, okay. The Loch Ness Monster appearing as the new David S. Pumpkins. And then he's like, wait, are we supposed to like that? And then he's like, I don't know anymore. But, you know, just last week I had this conversation. I said, if this happens, then I will shave all my ball hair and take up crocheting. And then you hear the razor sound boot up. Really funny to me. And the last one I had written down was the TV sins guy would be excellent at letting other people do his job. Perfect medicine.
And because we always do the so-and-so would be excellent at TV sins. So yep. Narrator deserves to be sinned for letting other people do his job.
Yep. Well, that's the only sins that I had written down. And for the like behind the sins portion of this video, I just figured like if there was like anything that you wanted to mention about the process of like using the medicine as a full blown thing here.
To be tidy with the whole concept, the narrator bot gets revealed in that during that video, and then at the end we introduce the medicine in which the narrator just explains what happened in that video, and which now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like if we probably should have given ourselves like an exposition and some kind of sin exposition for over explaining.
But that would add another medicine, and I feel like the video kind of like concluded the medicines and the narrator bots time B plot story arc. I don't know. like I feel like the you know that ending there kind of like concluded that. So if you were to sin yourself for exposition and explaining, then that would defeat the purpose because then you would have to sin yourself, which would have to be a medicine.
I don't know if I understand it anymore because there's too many layers and I spent too much time thinking about it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, let's move on to Thursday's video then. Speed 2. Chris and Jeremy writing on this one. This is the original CinemaSins crew. Have you seen this movie, Daniel?
Yes, I have.
There's no reason to watch this movie, is there?
I believe as a part of cinema history, maybe in an academic sense. See, it's not a, like, I didn't enjoy it. I'm not going to say that I really enjoyed the movie, but you get Willem Dafoe, if nothing else. You get sure, you get some sure. some top-notch Willem Dafoe acting. And so I wouldn't say that you need to put it high on your priority list, but I wouldn't say don't watch it completely.
The only reason you might want to watch this movie is Willem Dafoe's performance. Yeah. This is a...
And to understand the Sins video better.
Sure. It's true. This is the only reason... This is a... The only reason to watch this movie also would be a perfect example of like where movies go bad. Cause like if this is a total offshoot of Speed, like not even Speed 2, if it's just called Cruise Control or whatever, and doesn't have any shared characters, like if the Sandra Bullock's just a completely original character, like this movie still is a terrible movie, but with a great villain performance. But the fact that they call it Speed 2 is just a cash grab. They couldn't get Keanu back. Sandra Bullock is a completely different character from the first movie, even though, you know, she shares the same name and is supposed to be the same person, you know. Jason Patrick is nowhere near as good as a leading man as Keanu. The whole concept of Speed was that it had to be high stakes and high speed, and you just don't get that on a cruise. Like,
yeah, you don't. You don't have those moments, those like the adrenaline moments from the first film when like the actual speed of the bus becomes like a component, a visceral component of it, like something you can feel. Like,
right. Yeah. Well, and the first Speed is an all timer, but this, I watched this when I was a kid, probably like 20 years ago. Yeah. I would have been 7 or 8. Maybe like 10 or 12. So 15 years ago. And just because I loved the first Speed, and I think like we had this because we had a lot of movies, and I popped it in one day and I was like, what? Like, there's literally nothing about this movie to like, and except for Willem Dafoe, who I had already known as the Green Goblin. So I was like, but I could just watch him be the Green Goblin. That's all he's doing. You know, I think the Sin video point out this is essentially an audition tape for him, you know?
Yeah. So. Anyway. I propose one thing is that... Because it shouldn't be Speed, but like, what if they did something different with it? And like, because it's a big boat, what if they did like they named it Mass Times Acceleration or something like
that. Oh, I have an idea. How about, what if we take this movie and we make it better and then we just call it Under Siege? I think we could do that. Because under, again, the Sins video points out, like, we already have, you know, we already have Die Hard, and there's Die Hard on a boat and Die Hard on a plane, and or Die Hard on a plane and Die Hard on a bus and all that. And it's like, what if we do Die Hard on a boat? And they failed to realize that Under Siege came out 5 years earlier. Like, yeah.
I mean, it would have been probably a good Under Siege 2, maybe, if there was a way to roll that in there. I mean, I know that there is Under Siege 2, which is on a train, which would have been a better place for Speed 2.
Here we go. So we're going to rewrite history. We're going to flop Speed 2, the plot for Speed 2 and Under Siege 2. We're going to switch those movies to the different franchises.
Yes.
Here we go. All right. I think that makes a lot of sense. Okay. But we're still going to keep Steven Seagal in the train one.
We're going to cast Steven Seagal in both of them. That's because there are no rules anymore.
It's the 90s. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares about continuity.
We're gonna cast Steven Seagal as Keanu Reeves' character from Speed. We're not even going to change his name. We're not going to acknowledge it's a different person. It's going to be good.
I love it. Under the Sins in the video, Sandra Bullock is not a dog. You do not give commands to Sandra Bullock. Hilarious. God, I sure hope the passengers got some more dry towels. And then the concierge guy says, here's some more dry towels. And he says, thank God. Oh, that killed me. And then there's the Willem Dafoe performance that we've already talked about. And it says, here's a sin for making me think of taking a sin off of Speed 2.
Yeah.
I have a couple more written down, but what are some of the ones that you wrote down?
I enjoyed the mathematicians are walking out of the theater right now. A shame they ever walked in the first place. I just thought that was an interesting. We brought mathematicians into this and they're disappointed. And then there was this movie is like Treme, only without social commentary or a reason to exist. I just love that the way they just snuck in that reason to exist at the end.
Yep. Let's see. Maurice takes these diamonds and I'm okay with that. And I'm not okay with that.
I'm not okay with myself being okay with that.
Yeah. Let's see. Budgeting for a CGI anchor, but not budgeting enough. And then there's the moment where the cruise crashes into the dock and then the guy just goes, my car. And then there's just an insert of a obvious like studio laugh track. Perfectly summarized, I think, everybody's experience watching. And then how could this happen on my honeymoon? What a fucking stupid question. This is like asking why that murder happened during my bar mitzvah or why Firefly got canceled while I was at football practice.
Yeah, that was a weird line. I don't know.
It's so stupid. You were saying Chris had some things to say?
He had also gave some of his favorite things to pick on, which is sort of in the same area. He had Annie and Alex watching Lolita in their room.
Yeah.
Every breath you take is used as a romantic song in a movie, and even though it's a more of a creepy song.
Yep.
And then there's the movie cutting away to musical artist UB40. Movie cutting away to musical artists like UB40 as it searches desperately to end the terrible first act.
Yeah, yep.
I really enjoyed those scenes. And then the movie trying to get us to care about Jason Patrick's awful character by having him know ASL and communicating with a deaf girl named Drew. They put Drew in danger for a whole bunch of the movie, and it's incredibly ham-handed. And Chris says he enjoyed writing the I'm out of fuck sin,
mm-hmm.
and including the union drivers responsible for the delivering the fucks.
Yeah.
He said there's too much to cover, but those were the highlights.
Sure. Yeah, everything about this movie is just bad, but I quite enjoyed the Sins video for this. I thought it was a much better experience than watching the movie. You have anything else before we move on?
I do have some behind the scenes verbiage from Chris as well. He said that he remembers when Speed 2 came out and remembers it being bad, but not 3.9 on IMDb bad. The low light of this movie is the first 30 minutes and it never recovers. Jason Patrick replaces Keanu Reeves and it starts with a totally unbelievable action scene where Patrick is chasing down a bad guy in the same area where Sandra Bullock is taking a driving test. And this is where she finds out Patrick is a cop who puts himself in danger every day and has been lying to her for about 7 months. So that's okay though, because he bought cruise tickets for their very important 7 month anniversary.
That's also something that was so baffling about the movie that I'm so happy that the Sims video just hammered. Because, like, the 7 month anniversary isn't a real anniversary. And definitely not something that you buy cruise tickets for, you know?
No.
And how easy would it to be to write in, you know, instead of 7 months, how about a year anniversary or 2 years or, you know, happy, you know, Merry Christmas. We live in California. Like, you know, like it, so many different ways that they could do that with 7 months is just stupid. On to Friday's video, the commercial sends Hilton for the stay. This was a really, really, really fun one to watch because it seemed like every sin took like 30 seconds. Like they were all just paragraph long sins. And like the tone of like Chris's narration voice like seemed to match what the commercial like tone was, and so it's kind of starts off like gloomy and boring and like you just hate it, and then it gets to the Hilton and it kind of like becomes that normal again, you know, happy Chris, right?
I was just say with the tone of that, especially like the opening one, I think that like the tone that he used with the very first and kind of set it up really, really well. I gave him some directions, but not really told them to do whatever like felt right for the scene, because it was so long, and I was just like, felt like when I first wrote it, it was meant to be more angry, but it just felt like, I was like, I don't think that you can't be that angry for that long. I was like, it's just going to get tired trying to read that. So I just said the narrator should be getting more and more distraught as it progresses. This could be anger or sadness, whatever feels right. And what he did like worked so well in that when I was watching it back in the edit, I was like, it works really well. And then I feel like it almost needs something else. So then this, because I was talking about Windows updates, I grabbed the Starfield, Microsoft Starfield screensaver. And it just kind of fades out into this void of this screensaver. And then it snaps back at the end there, which is, I thought was really funny.
Well, and I like how in the middle of that thread, there was like, oh, holy crap. Is that the guy from, is that Glenn from Accepted? Which is a great reference that I love, because I love Accepted. And I know it's not a good movie, but it's hilarious. So, yeah.
I remember enjoying that as well. I mean, it came out a little while ago, but it was an enjoyable film.
Yeah. Justin Long is funny in it. It's an early Jonah Hill performance. That's a funny movie. Yeah, and then also later referencing him at, you know, in Harold and Kumar Go to Guantanamo, Escape from Guantanamo Bay, and then also referencing his character in Hot Tub Time Machine 2, which that movie is terrible. I like the Harold and Kumar ones. So,
but it's one of those things where like they have an actor that you recognize playing, supposed to be like a normal person in this commercial, but it's like you recognize them, so it's like, there's no suspension of disbelief within this film, within this commercial, at least for me. So it just made sense to keep just bringing up all the things that I'd seen the actor in. So.
Sure. Yeah. He is kind of one of those like that guys, right? I didn't recognize him like as Glenn from Accepted until like halfway through the video, because like you really get a good look at his face. So I was like, good catch. And then I don't remember him from anything else. So, and I, like I said, I really like the Harold and Kumar movies, but also it's part of a longer sin, but essentially it's, you know, playing Beat Star while we drop a beat from our starfish was, that's one of those chef's kiss sins, which is also gross considering the context.
I'm glad you pointed it out.
Yeah. No, because the sin is about how there's a phone like right next to the toilet, and the sin is that like some hotels actually have this, and you know, why would you ever use this and talk about the fecal matter everywhere? Disgusting.
It's true. Yeah. I feel like that one was just like my personal plea for anyone out there to just never pick up that phone in the bathroom at the hotel.
Even if I was staying at that hotel and I was in the bathroom, somebody had clearly kicked down my door, I'm not reaching for that phone to call the cops. Like, and if my phone is in the other room, which, why would anybody not take their phone to the bathroom with them? Whatever. If for some reason, if my phone is in the other room, I'm not touching that bathroom phone even to call the cops and save my life. You know,
well, I mean, at that point, I'll think die. That I don't know if a phone call is really what you should be making at that point if someone's kicked in your door. So you're right. You're right, but I don't know if you're right for the right reason, Aaron. I'm sorry.
Point being, no circumstance could make me touch that phone. I would rather die than touch a bathroom phone, hotel bathroom phone. And then I refuse to suspend my disbelief that Carl hadn't been murdered prior to this moment in his life. That was the moment where he asked for mayonnaise for his fish. I agree. You have anything else to add about this video?
Somewhere along the way, like I decided that I created a fictional character for the narrator for the commercial. And the only hint is actually in the subtitles. It says the ghost of Millie B. Hilton.
Uh-huh.
It was not a person. I just made them up.
I Googled it because I'm like, what is this story? And I couldn't find anything.
And that's why I said it's a completely fictional backstory. about this. Yeah. That started earlier in the writing process, and then I got to the end there, and I was like, I have no idea what to do with this final line, and then I was like, all right, I'm just gonna explain what I did, and then somehow connect it to Hotel California.
I really enjoyed it. I thought there was a reference to something that I just missed. Ghost of Millie B. Hilton, what? Like, and I searched Millie B. Hilton and Millie Bobby Brown came up, and I'm like, what?
No. that's not the person. No.
Well, that'll do it for the Sinside Scoop. Lots of good notes and laughs to be had there. We'll move on to Behind the Sitter.
So tell me about yourself.
We're all sinners. Every one of us.
And what happens to sinners?
Get to know each other better, you know?
See, Daddy, sinners have soul too.
The information, it's too much.
Walk away, Marge, just walk away.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and ask everybody about their thoughts and their input and any like fun facts that they might have about the Everything Everywhere All at Once video, because as we kind of left the conversation last week, like there is still things to be discovered, and I'm sure there are still stories to be told. So with such a massive undertaking and with everybody having a part in it, I wanted to ask everybody about their experience with the video. So first question, I guess I'll just throw it all out there and you can kind of talk to whatever you'd like, but do you have anything that you wanted people to know in regards to the making and release of the video? What input did you have into the final video specifically? And I don't mean that in terms of like we know where you're narrating, but I mean, yeah. Like, did you have like anything where it's like, hey, like maybe this would be better to do this way, or for this narration, you know, read it this way or whatever. I don't know, like anything during the edit process or whatever. Or since this was such a long script writing process, if at any point you threw out an idea that stuck or that didn't stick.
No, I was completely on the outside of this one. I was brought in after the writing process to do the for like my part, but that's kind of where it started for me. I mean, I knew it was on the schedule. I didn't know where they were at. So in terms of what everything I brought to it was involving a broomstick,
which I did get a DM from Obina Onij, who wanted to know, how did you come up with the voice for that one, for that specific channel, the Broom Sins? And then just if you had thoughts on the last sin, as Dicer like mentioned, kind of starts and shows all the current sins team in order of where they came on. Like what if you had anything extra to throw into that?
So the note that I received for the Broom Sin was narrate as a broomstick. So it really left that one up to me creatively, and And so there are some different versions of that line that I had tried out. A lot of weird things. I have to say, from doing that one little bit of narration, I have to give so much credit to our other narrators, to Jeremy, Chris, and Aaron, because like doing that one and hearing my voice back was like a nerve wracking experience. I was like, oh my, wow.
Well, especially not narrating as Daniel, but narrating as Broomstick.
I think at some point I just settled on that this is a very proper Broomstick. It's very I think it was just from like the line, because he said that he was I think a bit offended or something, and it just turned into a very sort of like monotone sort of give this like was it like three
thwack
out of five? Yes, it's been a minute. So that's kind of where the voice came from. I gave input on the font, and like the thwacks was because I was just like, what would I don't know what in a broom universe what would be their sin? Yeah. And then the font, I just felt like it should be a little bit playful, because it is a pinata, like there are pinatas involved, yeah. So it should be a bit playful. I didn't know that there was going to be a visual broomstick present. I was curious about how that was going to work out. And then when they came back with the graphics, I was like, that makes sense.
That's awesome. I love it.
Other than that, that's like, there was the medicine also made it in there. I will have to find the exact time where that one originated from. But because I was, I guess, working on the Rick and Morty stuff around the same time. So like that conceptually was in the air. Yeah. So it was, it ended up being introduced in Everything Everywhere Once. And then we started seeing it more and more. But it was just fun, because the writing of that was sort of happening in two different parts. So like there wasn't a whole lot of crossover conceptually there. So, but I love that was included as well. I will say that in terms of the recording of the narration, I had a fun time with that, like trying to get the audio quality. I ended up hanging a bunch of comforters in a closet and then kind of going in there and closing the door with my microphone, because I like listening back, it's not as bad with like the podcasting, but like when I was just like hearing the isolated audio, there was something going on outside my house that was like kind of like bleeding through. So I just wanted to kind of get that out. So I ended up it was an uncomfortable space, but the quality of it, I was very happy with, especially with as the last one where they were blending other audio. Like I felt like I was worried that if there was something weird in the audio that like it would be very obvious as you like tried to blend it across with other people's audio. And like that was probably the most difficult one to do, because we did I did the whole final sin, and then they're able to cut it together. But so like that was the one where I kept like I did that one as myself, and I kept hearing myself.
It is
broomstick I could get away with as being like, well, you know, I'm not really a broomstick, but it's like this is myself, and like it's like, so I wanted it to sound good and not like I was reading, which was harder to get than I thought, because I've never like read a script or performed a script before, so like getting it to be sound not like like I imagine like elementary school, like when you're like reading from the textbook and you get that kind of like everyone gets that like sort of a monotone voice where they're like just
it's,
you can tell
it's
they're reading
men's and bridesmaids speeches,
yeah,
like you can tell exactly. The people that are reading from a paper, I mean you can see them, and you can tell the people that are like, you know, I have notes on my phone of the things that I made sure I want to say, but like it makes a world of difference.
Yes, absolutely. So it's such a fun video, and like everyone here had a great time making it. We consider it a win like over and over again.
Sure. Well, I'd like to move on to a quick game of Three Sins and a Lie. I have four options for you: Ad Astra, Battle Los Angeles, Titanic, or Morbius.
Do Ad Astra.
Ad Astra. Okay. This will be interesting. Okay. So the way the game works is I'll read four sins. Three of them are in the video. One is one that Joseph made up. Joseph comes up with all this here. So it's all from him. I just get to read it to you. Sin number one. I'd give all the sins back if during this scene, the light hit Clifford's face and we find out that he's actually been dead this whole time and that Roy has been hallucinating about his father's mummified corpse talking to him. This is crazy to me because I've not seen this movie or the Sins video. So this is, it's on my watch list and I want to watch the movie before the Sins video. So anyway, that's what a statement. Okay. So that's it. Sin number two. It's weird watching a pilot land a rocket on a planetary surface now that we've actually seen SpaceX do it dozens of times without a pilot. This movie may have been made after its time somehow. Sin number three would be he gets rescued as a space hero instead of arrested for mutiny and the deaths of several astronauts. Sin number four is he says this while remembering his wife leaving him, and yet he passes the test, in quotes, which suggests the test is not real, not about passing, judged by the taker and no one else. I'm just saying he's clearly not focused on the essential to the exclusion of all else because he's thinking about his lady love lost. Yeah, so those are the four sins. Which one of those do you think that Joseph made up?
I'm really bad at this game. Explain that right off the bat.
It's a tough game.
I'm gonna say the last one. I'm gonna say the last one was fabricated.
The him not passing the test, really?
Yes.
Yeah. The correct answer, the actual non-sin, is the first.
Wow.
Man, that's a tough one. That was even tough to read. If I were competing, I would get all of these wrong every time. But yeah, there you go. If you're playing along at home, keep track for yourself. All that. But that's fun. Well, that'll do it for that. We just have one more thing before we wrap up. We'll move on to Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond!
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Daniel, what is that one thing in any area of pop culture that you really wanted to recommend, warn, or rec-warn?
I'm going to go with the show 1899 on Netflix.
This is a Yellowstone prequel, right?
No.
Oh, no.
Actually,
no, no.
Not. There's multiple
like years
shows that are just these years. Yeah.
You said this one is 1899?
Yes.
Oh, this just got canceled.
Oh, great.
I heard it has a doozy of an ending too. So
I did not know that. I did not.
Yesterday, I think.
Wow. Well, I have one episode left, so I hope that it wraps up in a way that I find satisfying. Otherwise,
I'm ruining everything for you.
I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna rescind my recommendation.
Yeah,
but I
heard it had a really like mind-bending one, but yeah, it got canceled 3 days ago as of recording this.
I believe it's the same creator that did Dark. I don't know if you saw that. That show that was also on Netflix. It was a German language.
I'd heard of it. I'd never seen that one.
But they're both. But yeah, both. I recommend. I like the I like the creative team behind both. And so so far I'd recommend the first season of 1899.
Sure.
It's a little bit slow in the beginning, but it picks up and it's nice.
Sure. I've heard great things about this show. So. The IMDb score is really good for it. The general fans seem to like it. The review we published for Sif Pop was really positive. Yeah, like it's got good scores everywhere, but just Netflix doesn't like to keep anything anymore. So yeah, just anyway. So you're not alone in liking it, even though you haven't seen how it ends.
One of the things, because I just did a quick search on it, one of the things that comes up as a search is 1899 based on a true story? And like, that is a wild question. If you watch the show, like that's
well, this is like something to do with the Bermuda Triangle, right? Like,
I don't know yet.
Oh, I just the art like shows.
There are triangles involved. There are, okay. Yeah.
I just assumed it was a fictionalized Bermuda Triangle thing.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I'm also going to talk about a show. I mentioned it earlier, but I love Letterkenny. I think it's one of the best comedy shows out there. There's now 11 seasons out, but each season is only 6 episodes. So, like, it's a really easy binge. It's not like, you know, 11 seasons of, you know, even like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has like 16 seasons, but they're like 13 episode seasons. This is 6 episode seasons. It's on Hulu, by the way. And it's just great. Not really like an overall plot. Each season kind of has its own arc, but it's just about several groups of people in a small town in Canada. And it's really funny. It's a great binge watch. It's like the most bingeable show ever. So season 11 just came out. So what they do ever since, I think, season like 6 or 7, they drop 2 sets of 6 episodes a year. And one of them is at the end of the year. And so one of them's in like summer. So they just drop 6 episodes on Christmas Day, I think. And then they will release like an episode like as a holiday special throughout the year. So like this year they did International Women's Day. They just dropped an episode on International Women's Day. So it's a great show. It hasn't been running that long. But again, you know, you do 2 seasons a year and then that'll catch up pretty quick. So it's great. It's a very consistent show. Yeah, just really funny. I love it. If you're looking for a new binge, Letterkenny all the way. Have you seen it?
I've heard of it. I've not watched yet. Now I have a recommendation from you. So
there you go.
I have no reason to now because there's no second season of 1899. I'm going to replace that with Letterkenny.
Yeah, wildly different shows, I'm sure. But yeah. Well, that'll do it for this week. Thanks again to Daniel for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I've appreciated having you on these 3 times, and look forward to having you on, listening to you in season 4. That'll be a fun change of pace. And then you can follow me on Twitter or Letterboxd at Schweitcastle. If you have feedback on the show, we're still taking that. Or if you have like suggestions on what you want to see from season 4, some things that you like that I did that you'd like to see come back, or some things that you didn't like that I did that you would like to see go away. All that is useful information for us. You can send that to bts@cinemasins.com or DM the BTS Twitter @cinemasinsBTS. Lastly, don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're listening from, and come on back next Thursday for more Behind the Sins content.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com and be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
This just feels so underwhelming, but like there's still plenty of good stuff here, you know? Like,
I'm sorry, Aaron.
No. I have one fun chugging story, and that is that I went on vacation with some friends, and we, as it was vacation and we were some young 20s guys, went to Walmart and bought a lot of alcohol for our week-long vacation in Florida. And I had grabbed a bottle or two of wine because I like wine, not as much as Jeremy. And and I pulled it out. My friend said, "What are you doing? Like, why did you grab that?" And I was like, "Well, I don't really feel like chugging right now or anything. I feel like this is kind of what I'm in the mood for." And he's like, "Well, chug it." And I said, "Well, you don't chug wine." He said, "Well, you won't. And look, if you tell me not to do something, I'm just gonna do it." So I think I got about halfway down the bottle, and then we played Mario Kart. It was a fun night.
Mistakes of youth.
Yeah, because look, I don't know if you've ever tried to play Mario Kart after you've drank half a bottle of wine, but I'm just saying, if you don't have anything to do this weekend, there's certainly like worse ways to spend your weekend.
Okay. I will anything make else? A note of that. Anything put else it in my from... calendar.
Have you seen this movie, Jonathan? No, you're not Jonathan. Have you seen this movie, Daniel?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.